Grow Great is a city government leadership podcast with Lisa Norris and me, Randy Cantrell. Each week we share insights, experiences, and wisdom to help you and your leadership grow great. Our website is growgreat.com. So Lisa texts me this Simon Sinek quote. We all know Simon Sinek. He's the why guy. You know, what's your why? We call them leaders because they go first, because they take the risk before anybody else does, because they will choose to sacrifice so their people will be safe and protected. Lisa and I both agree with that, by the way.
We do.
So there's that. I don't know. When you sent me that, and it's not like I hadn't seen that or something like that before, but I think we think of leadership in a lot of different contexts. And for me, it's not just about going first. It's in kind of showing the way and displaying some things. I was in a conversation and there was talk about today's culture. Mm-hmm. And I think most of us can admit that largely it's broken. There's a whole lot that's broken. And it's not a political thing. It's a cultural thing. And I made a remark that when Rhonda and I first got married, you know, and when you're first married, you're not living in the upscale neighborhoods necessarily. And you know, you take pride, you're a young couple and you're taking pride in the yard and whatever and painting and, you know, cause come on, it's your first thing. And maybe not everybody on the street is doing that, but it's kind of interesting that somebody can start something. And now here's the qualifier, got to be good people. Mm-hmm. My personal philosophy is that most people, if they're not good, they want to be. Mm-hmm. You know, I know there's evil in the world, but I don't think most of us are evil. Anyway, it can permeate a neighborhood. It's like, okay, well, you know, man, look at their yard. They mowed their yard and they've edged it. And, you know, maybe we need to edge ours, kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And that's leadership. You know, I mean, it's showing the way. It's demonstration. It's not, I think we can get really fixated. We talked in a past episode about listening. It deserves some greater conversation. Mm-hmm. But then there's on the flip side, then there's the talking, but the real powerhouse is the doing. And so that's kind of where my head went when you sent me that quote in a text, because they go first. I fixated probably on that phrase as opposed to the risk part or the safety part or the sacrifice part, because to me, if you're going to lead the way, all the rest of that just kind of, it's a package deal.
Well, I've seen in my career, even recently in this new role, you see leaders taking the bullet per se, right? They step in front of their people to take the bullet so their people are safe. And just doing that, if you recognize when it's happening, is very powerful. It's powerful. And I've had the,
well, cause most of us are accustomed to having a finger pointed at us.
That's right. And so,
wait a minute, what do you mean? Blame? I had nothing to do with this, you know, throw you under the bus cause you're an easy target.
That's exactly right. And I've had the opportunity to witness that. And then you see the character of a leader when you not only witness and you know what's happening, but they come back the next day or after the meeting, or whenever you're together with them as a group and say, listen, that's my bullet to take, not yours. And here's why I did that. Because it sets a clear example with that level of integrity and character when they're not only doing it in front of you and you didn't expect it. You could have, me as a managing director, I can stand up in a meeting, council, I can get in front of a group of irate citizens, right, and have them scream at me. But when you see a leader stepping in front of you in any circumstance similar to that, and you can see them clearly keeping you safe and then taking over that dialogue or that conversation, what a powerful one sight. But secondly, what level of trust does that develop that they've got your back, that they know when you can not just handle something, but when you should handle something versus when they should handle something. It is just it's a powerful indicator. And I've talked to them about that as well. When I was in HR, we talked about it as a managing director with my directors. There's times that we'll have those conversations of, no, that's for me. You let me take that one. Let me take that one. You take this one. And then there's times they've come to me and said, hey, do you want to do this or should I do that? And I'm like, no, on that one, go ahead and handle that. So you keep your level of authority. So I try to always, you're talking about the why with Simon Sinek in that quote. I always try to explain the why so they understand perspective and they understand that I have a specific reason for doing or not doing something or giving you guidance on how to do something that protects them. And I think that's important at any level. They're directors, they can handle themselves, but sometimes I have to stand in front of them in the battle and take the bullets for them because it's the right thing to do.
Well, and it's a level of courage and confidence that isn't common. It's just not common. You know, could it be more common? I think it could, but a lot of head trash, you know, a lot of insecurities, and you know, we're so accustomed to lay blame and looking for who to blame, so that we can have a back door and we can excuse ourselves. I've said it before publicly, and you and I've had this conversation. When it comes to my coaching, I've defined it as I help clients paint themselves into a corner where all the excuses get sucked out of the room. And now back in a corner, armed with a mirror to look at yourself, you find a way forward. That's the work. It's not for the faint of heart. But leadership is not for the faint of heart. You know, so those people that want to throw their people under the bus, those people that aren't willing to take a bullet, those people that aren't willing to be the first to charge up the hill, they lack the courage. They lack the courage. They lack the confidence to do that. The moral fortitude. You and I have had conversations about grit and how we perceive ourselves with grit and how other people even maybe use that word about us. And some people have that. Not everybody's got that.
Right. And it's, you know, you talk about the flip side, so you can have the courage and confidence to take that for your team. How many of us in the audience listening, and Randy, you and I, have seen the opposite? We have seen the leaders, instead of it being a me or we, it's a, you know, somebody complains openly in the group. And in the group, they say, well, yeah, so-and-so, you need to do a better job. That's on you. We failed. And I'm like, what are we doing? What, yeah. You know, what are you doing there? You don't want to do that to your team. I have seen it. I've seen it over my career. Sometimes they don't even recognize they're doing it. I mean, that does happen occasionally. And so it's important that we support our team, because I also don't want to confuse the audience that I don't want to confuse the audience that there is a time and place where you can criticize, but that should be private in my mind, right? If your leader did something, you address it with them separately to correct or re-steer them in the right direction. Like if you saw it happen or if it's unintentional, I'm just saying you don't throw them under the bus when there's a complaint as if it's not your problem, it's their problem. Because ultimately, if you're the leader, it is your problem in my belief system.
Yeah, and I agree.
We get about that.
We get too fixated on the word blame, and I don't think we give enough headspace to the word responsibility.
Yeah.
As a leader, it's your responsibility. Does that mean you're to blame? It doesn't mean you're to blame, but it means you are responsible. So what are you going to do about it? You know, what are you going to do with it? And we just live in a world, and the culture is, you know, and it's systemic. I get it. It's just we want to affix blame. Okay, well, you got to go all the way back to the beginning, because it happened in the Garden of Eden. You know, Adam and Eve blamed the serpent. You know, he lied to us. Imagine that. You know, God said one thing, he says something different. We did what we wanted.
That's right.
Because he tempted us. And I don't know, the responsibility factor for me is a big, big deal, because you and I both have shared stories with each other and our past experiences of seeing people, whether they were part of our organizations or somebody that we were just observing, where just they habitually, anything that went wrong, anything that went south, they had a number of players to point to who were part of their team, mm-hmm. members of their own team.
Yes.
You know, and you're just like, what do you hope to accomplish by this? And there's just delusion. I think they assume that it somehow makes them not look culpable or responsible. And when you start thinking about leadership and all of the high performing leaders that I've ever known, including present company, we want the responsibility.
Well, we own it.
Count on us. If you want the hill taken, don't give it to them. Give it to me. I want to take that hill. Let me take the hill.
That's right.
And so why wouldn't we want the responsibility, good, bad, or ugly, to your point and to the point of this quote? It absolutely does make people, well, the word's trust. It builds trust. We trust leaders that have our back, and it makes us have their back. And the great thing about leadership is if your team is 2 or 5,000, you could potentially then you could have 2 people that have your back, as opposed to you just having your back, or you could have 5,000 people that have your back, as opposed to just you having your back. You know, it's there is this reciprocal behavior, which is kind of what I meant about the edging your yard thing. I mean, that's just how influence works.
Yeah, it's interesting, because, you know, when you look at trust, and we always talk about actions are more powerful than words. It does not matter what you say. If you say, I do not throw my team under the bus. I do not call them out. I do not, but you do it. And then you're telling people you don't. What they see and feel.
Well, now they trust you even less.
That's right. What they see and feel is what is real. Not what you're saying to them that you do or don't do.
Well, and now you're dishonest.
Once it's broken. Yeah. And once it's broken, if you've done it once and it was a learning, and you know, you're a young manager and you didn't know when you did it, and you can be told, okay, let's not do that again. And here's why. What do you think that did to the team? And they're remorseful and own it and really try to avoid that in the future. And they've grown because of it, which we've all had moments in our career where we made a big hiccup and we've grown from it. That's part of life. You do it again, I start to question, is it choice? You do it a third time, it's intent, right? I mean, you are making the choice to do that and not learning from past behavior and the detriment it is causing to the team, which you will lose your team. You will lose their trust. They are going to be more hesitant. They are going to not take, it talks about the quote takes risks, right? Quote is, if I can find it.
Because they take the risk before anybody else does.
And because they will choose to sacrifice so their people are safe and protected. Well, when they don't feel protected, and we've talked about psychological safety pretty much in probably 50% of our episodes in some one fashion or another. If they don't feel safe, guess what? They're no longer going to take risks. They're going to do what you tell them to do, and that's all they're going to do, because they are afraid of retribution if they don't.
And that'll be the best case scenario.
That is not a high-performing team.
The best case scenario is they'll do what they're told to do. That's not the worst case scenario. The worst case is they won't even do that. They won't even do what they're told to do. You know, so they're that. It's reminiscent of that Far Side cartoon, you know, the two bears, and one bear's in the scope of the, and he's pointing to his buddy like, hey, take aim at him. You know, and it's what we do. And it's like, so I've never understood it. Here's the practical reality in my experience is the people that step up and take the bullet, as you call it. I've never seen that not work out well for the leader, not just in terms of their own people, trusting them and appreciating it and acting in a reciprocal behavior, but even with higher ups, even with other people that might be authority figures, there's a respect that just goes out to somebody who just owns it.
That's right.
I've never seen it fail. So I'm fascinated by the question. So the bosses, I'll call them not leaders, but the bosses who won't take the bullet, the bosses who will throw their people under the bus, I've always wondered, what do you hope to gain by this? How is this going to work out? You really honestly think this is going to make you look better? To who?
Yeah.
It's not going to make you look better to your people. It doesn't make you look better to your superiors or anybody who's an authority figure. I've never seen that work out.
Yeah. It's just like, you know, you hear the old story of you and your best friend are being chased by a bear. You don't have to be faster than bear. You just need to be faster than your best friend.
That's right. That's
you know?
Right.
Well, guess what? After that, you don't have a best friend anymore.
No,
the thing along the way.
Yeah, but the thing that you're afraid of, you play right into it. It just, well, you've seen it. You've seen it at some point in your history. You've seen it in any organization where you were. I absolutely have, where it didn't work out well in the moment. It led to other behaviors that did not work out well. It works to the negative in that now you got a team of people that don't trust you. Well, how's that going to work? Mm-hmm. How's that possibly going to accelerate your career? It shows superiors, they don't take responsibility. They won't own anything. They're always deflecting. They're always making an excuse. That's how you want to be known. And you think that's going to lead to something positive for you in your career? No, not going to happen. Of course, it violates all of the principles of leadership that we preach, a focus on others. Okay, well, it's a positive focus on others. It's not a focus on others so we can drive the bus over them.
Yeah.
You know, and it's influence. That means it's positive influence.
Yeah.
And it's doing for others what they can't do for themselves, which I think the quote largely speaks to all three of those things.
I remember I had challenges at one point in my career, and I had challenges with a leader, and I suspected there was poor leadership going on, and I suspected there were comments like I'd give direction in a manager meeting, and then when they went back, instead of owning it, they were saying, which wasn't accurate. Like they had come up with ideas, and then I would confirm, okay, like, yeah, that's a good idea. But they would come back to their team and say, well, Lisa said, we got to do this, and you got to do what Lisa said. Right. It was always Lisa this or Lisa
that.
Yeah.
You love to be quoted,
don't
you?
It was what we had talked about. Right. But you know, as that happened, I just started inserting myself in more meetings and inserting myself and watching what was going on and watching facial expressions. And then what was powerful during that time was I suspected I knew what was going on, but at some point the team had enough courage to come forward one at a time, not as a group, and share insight and specifics. They had specifics of what was happening. I started open up dialogue saying, you know, what about this? I've heard that there's this, what's going on there? And with all of them individually, including the manager, and sharing insight. And then I started seeing incongruities. So the team all aligned on what had happened, but the manager's perspective was not, it wasn't at all what they had experienced. And so as that started happening, they started coming to me with clarity on the level of concern, right? And when you have this in your career, it's a stepping stone of, okay, now what do I do? Because obviously, what was the team worried about? They're worried about, I'm going to tell the manager the team has come forward.
Yeah, that you're going to rat them out. Yeah.
And I said, that will never happen. I will be watching for this. I will insert myself so I see it for myself, and it will be spoken from my, what I'm observing is, what I've, what I saw was, so that I have their support and I have clear facts around it, but I'm not going to insert them. I'm going to go make it where I have seen it and witnessed it myself so I can speak to it. And I'm telling you, when that happens and when I took action, took me a while. I told, you know, I did have to tell them, be patient, because this is not a, I need to do what's right here. I need to consider all the facts and the, and
well, you got to make sure that you're seeing, you got to make sure you're,
decision.
Yeah, you got to make sure you're seeing reality too.
Well, and the severity of it, you know, yeah. I'm also not one that's just going to go terminate somebody because
right.
they complain.
Knee jerk reaction.
That's not the right thing either.
That's
but
right.
But in this case, it took a while. I did take action. The trust instilled after that, the dynamic, completely different. They respected me, I believe. I respected them for having the courage, because I can't, I've always said I cannot fix what I do not know about. But I'm also not, I don't want complaints being brought to me every 5 seconds because you don't like something.
That's right.
So they were wise, and they had discernment on what rose needed to rise to my level and what they tried to handle themselves. And they expressed that. So it also showed me a lot about the people, of the quality of the people at that time that I had, you know what I mean? Mm. So it did wonders for both sides of the house, and help us become stronger as a team. I've also had instances where I've had to call out somebody privately and say, what, I'm taking the bullet for this, but we can't keep doing this, you know? And they understood, yeah. And they're like, I'll do it. And I said, no, I will not allow you to take the bullet. This is a big bullet. I will take it. I will own it. That it is my fault. It is, we will fix this. I will never share your name, because that's not the right thing to do. And that the respect garnered from that turned that person positive. We had had some conflicts in the past, and it completely altered them. They were remorseful. They were upset that I was being put in that position, and they were doing everything they could not to do that again. And through those moments over my career, not only did I gain from them, right? I learned a way, and I learned the outcome of handling it that way that was very, very positive. I wouldn't do it any other way now. Once you learn it, if you didn't have it naturally inside you for that level of conflict, because it wasn't, like you said, it's a focus on others. It was not about me. It was not me saying, hey, I want to take this bullet so I look good. That didn't make you look good, right?
No.
But
no.
It shows confidence if you're genuine and we have fixed this. I apologize it happened under my watch, but we have got a solution. We are working on it. It will not happen again. You know, that kind of confidence, I think, says something to people if you've established a character and trust with whomever you're working with that counts.
Well, the reciprocity is a big deal, and it's a real deal. And an old head told me many, many years ago, and it wasn't an original idea, happened to be the preacher that married Rhonda and I over 46 years ago, and his son was my best friend. And he said, just remember this, people choose who to follow. And he's right. He's right. And so as leaders, if the whole objective here is to help other people do their work and do their work better, and it's how we get things done. I was on a client call just before you and I jumped on here, and we were having a conversation about this and about building an organization. And this particular person is kind of building out his team of people and getting people in the proper places and whatnot. And we were having a little bit of a career kind of a talk. And I said, the world is your oyster. If you can assemble a team, if you can develop and grow a team and sustain a team that is high performing, because that's a super rare skill set. And I think in too many cases, I think one reason for the whole blame game and for people not going first, not taking the risk, not sacrificing, is because we put too much emphasis on our work product as opposed to our work product being other people. Our work product as leaders are the humans. and their work output. It just is.
Yeah.
It's not, at the end of the day, it's not about all the, I'm not saying that it's not at all about your work product. So don't misunderstand me. Depending on where you're at in the food chain of being a boss or authority, you have specific things that you have to get done. Lisa has things that city management office is tasked her to do. She has to get done. Question, are you able to do, are, how many of those things can you do in isolation, you yourself? Any?
Rare.
Yeah, I bet you there's not one.
There's very few that you can do alone. It takes your team to do it successfully, or at least the inside of others minimally.
Yeah.
So you understand perspective.
Right. And so the logic that baffles me is, and so I think the best way to do that is to put these people at risk, not make the sacrifices I need to make on their behalf, not help them get their work done. And that's, you know, that's how
and
I'm going
to under the bus.
Yeah. That's how I'm going to get the reciprocal behavior. If I'm going to get the reciprocal behavior, and you will, how's that going to work out? As opposed to your example of taking the bullet and it changing the relationship from what had been not quite so positive to something superiorly positive, because this person now, it changed everything. It changed the context. It changed how they viewed you. It changed the relationship. They saw you in a different light because you were willing to step up and do what had to be done. It's not lost on me. You made a comment very early on when we first hit record about doing the right thing. And I think that deserves at least a mention or two. It is doing the right thing.
That's right. And it's I don't want to get it confused for our listeners that you have to come at it from a high ego. Like, okay, guys, I'm going to take this bullet. I'm going to take it for us.
Right.
It's not about ego. It is about doing, like you said, doing what is right to protect your team. That is the angle. You have to have a focus on them and not selfish pride that this is going to make me look good if I go do this. If that's your angle, it ain't going to work because you're not going to deliver it well. True?
That's right. Well, our metaphor of taking the hill is clearly a military metaphor. And not that I have zero military background, but I know enough. I understand enough about the whole take the hill thing. And the take the bullet thing is a similar thing. And it's, you're providing cover fire. If we follow this metaphor all the way through, you're providing cover fire for your team, for your
That's
people.
Right. That's
They've
right.
got to go about their work. Well, how are they going to go about their work when people are taking shots at them? So you're going to turn around and shoot at them too? No. No, you know, you get your metaphorical weapon out and you take the bullet, you know, you provide cover fire so that they can learn and grow from it. To Lisa's point, okay, it happens every now and again. You do it to me twice. Okay. You do it to me three times. Okay, Houston, we have a problem. I now see
That's
the
right.
problem is you intend to do this. This is how you're just going to behave. You're going to choose to do the wrong thing. I'm going to come back. For me, it's confidence, it's courage, and maybe that's even moral courage. And to your point of doing the right thing, we need leaders that are willing to do that. We need leaders that are willing to put themselves in harm's way for the good of others. I've not seen that not work out favorably for everybody involved. I'm not saying that
I have personally not experienced it where it has not worked out favorably.
I haven't either.
Like when I've had to do it myself, it has never failed me. And I'm not looking for praise after the fact. I'm not looking for, man, great job on taking one for the team.
But it always elevates the respect people have for you.
That's correct.
It?
Not only your team, but those around you that recognize
Everybody.
It.
Yeah.
Right. That recognize when it's happening. That's what we were talking about.
And you
about.
Know why? Because it's so rare.
Yeah. And
that's
I always get these stories. So when I'm telling the story, because this involves my husband, I never get them quite right because he has told them to me several times. when we have conversations over our 35 years. But I always remember just general context.
We'll have him on later and do a correction show for all these mistakes you've made.
Well, I have a poor memory. He is an amazing one. It's like a steel trap up there for him.
Yeah. So y'all make a good couple.
I have lots of leaks in mine. I have little holes punched in my memory.
Right.
But generally, I remember the same premise. Different outcome. I mean, not different outcome, but different approach. He's in a manufacturing environment running these massive printing machines. I mean, where paper runs through the machines from the ground, like, you know, thousands of seconds of paper just printing out for companies all over the world. It's a global. And I remember he's been the print supervisor for many years, a supervisory level, but he's the one who knows it all, right? Managers above him, VPs.
Yeah, they don't know.
Don is the one who runs that shop, knows the business, does all the work plans. And then that feeds, if you imagine a big print machine, it has to be cut, all these checks that are printed, put on pallets. Then there's a team that stuffs the envelopes. There's a called the insert team.
So a lot of moving parts.
His print shop. He's the print shop.
Yeah.
Well, I remember he talked about in their meetings, all the man, you know, the supervisors would come together and always, well, print shop didn't do this. Print shop didn't do, they didn't get it to us timely. Don's like, whoa, our pallets are sitting over there. Well, you didn't mark them with a hot sticky and a hot sticky. And he goes, if they're on the pallet, they're ready to be inserted, you know? And, and they're like, no, we need two stickies if it's semi-hot. We need three pink stickies if it's hot. And he goes like, we're not doing that. You know? And then I remember he said a manager came to him and was like in his face about something his team was doing. And as he was telling the story, it's basically, I mean, he was toe to toe with the guy. And he's like, you know what? You're not talking to my team. You're not. And this is like a VP guy.
Yeah. Right.
He goes, you're not doing that. You're not going to go to them. You're not going to tell them what to do. You have an issue. You take it out with me. You don't yell at my team. And the guy keeps going at him and is like nose to nose now. And Don goes, you know what? You want me fired? Go right there. VP's office is right there. Go do it. I'll wait. Let's see how that goes for you. And he said, the guy walked over there, stood at the door, talked to the other guy for a minute, and walked off.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
And he said, from that point on, he didn't bother him because he's like, Don, you're not going to do that to my team. I'll risk getting fired over it. You think I did a bad job?
Yeah.
You go tell him, because he knew and his team, I mean, this is a huge workshop. At that point, like you said, bad behavior public, Don's going to stand his ground public. He's not going to go pull him in the office. We're going to go toe to toe right here.
Yeah.
Because you demanded it and you're the higher up. So
that's right.
You know, now that's a different working environment than an office like we're in, right?
But well, and the personalities, that's
and
right.
Doesn't matter who it was.
Well, and the personalities are what they are.
Sure.
Lisa and I both talk about, you know, be who you are. Yes, we want to be the best version of ourselves, but some of us are more assertive than others. Some of us are more passive than others. Some of us are, you know, really bent to try to please people a lot, and some of us are not. Lisa and I were in a group call the other day, and there had been this assessment that had been used, and you know, and there are these nine different kind of descriptors of
the
how
anagram test
of how people are. And so listen, that's a real thing. We are all different. We are wired differently.
That's right.
So what does it look like for a leader to go first? Okay, well, that's kind of sort of universal. Taking a risk before anybody else does, that can look different.
Right.
For us, and that sacrifice that we make can look different. Don, her husband, Don's this assertive, blunt, forward speaking kind of a guy. That's who he is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was, I doubt Don's, he's not amping up this. He's just standing his ground. He's doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Had that been Lisa or me or somebody, that conversation, that interaction with that might have been very different. But the outcome could have been the same. Standing up for your team, standing up for your people, taking the bullet, because in the moment you know it's the right thing to do. Again, not for yourself, but to buy your team some time. I mean, man alive, I'm thinking of all the people that have entered my life at an early on, right? When, I mean, before there's real time to get philosophies in place and points of view and all that. And you're just kind of trying to make a statement and kind of trying to win people over. It's that magical 100 days that you hear people talk about.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, and there's certain things that I have done as a leader in that time frame that paid off hugely down the road because of just the timing of it. Now, that's a very different kind of a context than, okay, I've got a worker that's been on the job for 10 years, and for the last two, they've just become worthless, you know, and I've taken bullet, and I've taken bullet, and I've taken, that's a whole different thing. So these are not, it's not like everything else that we talk about, mostly. It's not a one-size-fits-all. There's context to all of this, but I think the universal principles of Simon Sinek's quote, absolutely, for me, they ring true.
Absolutely. It's all in standing up for your team, defending them. It's also about taking the risks, but so much of it is also in the delivery. You know, you do need to know the context, as you mentioned, Randy. You do need to know the delivery. It should be not, you should not be self-serving. You're looking for somebody to recognize you for doing it is not a good place to be there. You need to be doing it to serve your team and to protect them and keep them safe. That should be the entire angle of what we've talked about today.
Thanks for watching and listening to Grow Great, the City Government Leadership Podcast. For Lisa Norris, I'm Randy Cantrell. Be well. Do good, grow great. The website is growgreat.com.